our gospel, Jesus, he shows himself a real spiritual father. He is teaching and preparing his disciples for the sufferings that are going to come. To be a disciple involves sacrifice. What I want you to notice in Jesus as he's doing this, though, as he's teaching them, again, it's the second time he's saying, I'm going to go and I'm going to suffer and die and rise. Notice, like, his composure. Jesus is a man actually at great peace as he's teaching this. He's not all worked up about it. He has accepted what's coming. He knows it's what the Father wants him to do. There's a peace in him as he teaches them. And this interior peace gives Jesus great strength. Jesus is strong here. He is facing the battle. How can he do that? What's the source of this in Jesus? The source is that everything in Jesus' life is ordered to his relationship with the Father. Everything in his life, the Father's love for him and his love for the Father, and everything is geared towards that. All of his life has a great power and strength because it's well ordered in this way. There's a real spiritual maturity in him. In fact, in order to embrace the child, those who are weakest and vulnerable around us, anybody in junior high school knows this, to reach out to those people around you takes great spiritual maturity, actually. The apostles, on the other hand, show us great immaturity today. They're bickering and arguing about who's the greatest. The first thing I thought of was all the kids on the playground, you know? Who's the greatest? Or maybe in school these days, there's some of that going on, right? The pecking order of things. But the point is that actually we as adults kind of do the same thing. How many times have you seen in a workplace where someone steps on another person in order to get hired? That happens all the time. Gossip or whatever way it is. How often is it easy to compromise our faith, our church, or our values to make more money or to get ahead in sports or whatever it is in our lives? It breaks and causes divisions and conflicts in families and communities. And guess what? It can even happen in the church. Surprise, surprise. Even the conflicts that in the church come because we want to be on top, this group or that group, or those people want to be on top or control of something. We get territorial. It's very common in churches to do that. St. James, he says in our second reading, in fact, not only those little things, he says, where do the wars and the conflicts among you come from? Even the wars. It's not from something out there. They come from the passions inside of you that are making war within your own members. What are the passions? What's James talking about? The passions are, for instance, things like that we feel very strongly. Love, hate, pleasure, desire, anger, lust, joy, sadness, fear, bravery, jealousy, other things that when they're very strong in us, they have an explosive power. But that power can be ordered towards evil or towards good. And so either the passions will control us or we learn to control our passions. In the end, that's what's going to happen. I thought of it in this sense. When they control us, we're like the kids who have just learned to play ball for the first time. When they get on the field playing football or soccer or basketball, and what you see is this group of kids all just running after the ball around the field all together as a clump, right? Versus a professional game, a team. And when you watch them, it's an amazing thing to watch. It's so well coordinated. It's so working together that it becomes a very powerful team. That's what we're meant to be like. When our passions are ordered, our life has great power. How do we get from the immaturity and insecurity of the world, chasing the ball, to the spiritual maturity of that professional team? The only way there is through the cross. That's the way. It takes sacrifice. There was a young woman who was giving a talk to college students, and she was talking about her struggle with pornography, that it was controlling her life. She was a young Catholic, good Catholic woman. But she ended up going to confession every 2 days because she just kept falling over and over again. And she said, I realized at a certain point that there could only be one king in my life. That my love of Jesus and my love of this, and whatever this is for you and your passions, my love of this, they actually couldn't exist at the same time. One of them was going to have to die in my life. And some of you understand why Jesus actually had to suffer and die on the cross for us. Because there's actually something wrong in us that needs to be set right. And the only way that can happen is if it dies. So Jesus did that for us. It's not enough just to tell people, like to tell our kids they can follow their passions. No, there's bad and there's good direction of your passions. They need to be ordered towards the love of Jesus. And so this woman, she said, I realized that this had to become a sacrifice in me. And by that, she meant, firstly, that I had to allow the blood of Jesus to cover me. That in this place of insecurity in my own heart, I had to turn to Jesus and in his love, let him pour his blood from the cross over me. To cleanse me and strengthen me and wash me and make me new in his blood. That's the source of what will defeat this in me. And then secondly, I had to choose to make this a sacrifice, which means suffering, because anytime there's temptation, it's great suffering to bear that and to resist. And it means death, because this thing in me has to die if I'm going to choose the love of Jesus. And she did that until the only thing that was left, the only thing that ruled and controlled her, what was king, was that love. So that everything in our lives is ordered and directed towards that love and that relationship with him. Everything that we do is ordered towards that. That takes sacrifice. But in that sacrifice, there's a beautiful fruit of knowing the love of God in our life. I want to finish by telling another story. This is a story that shows what power it has when someone is ordered in that way, has that love that orders everything, and that power over an ability to defeat evil, actually. It's the story of St. Maria Goretti. Maria Goretti was about 14-year-old girl, lived in Italy, between Rome and Naples, kind of right on the coast. It was a swampy area, very poor area. Her and her family were great, great poverty. But they also had strong faith. She loved God. She loved her family. There was a young man in the community who had, frankly, a very rough upbringing, an abusive alcoholic father, but was living also a rough life, a little older than Maria. And when he saw her beautiful red hair, he began to lust for her. It consumed him. He began to stalk her. She was afraid. One day he found her alone in the house. He went in and he locked the door and he forced himself towards her and he said, Maria, do this with me. Maria resisted with all of her might. But listen to what she said. She said, no, Alessandro, don't do it. It's a sin. It's a sin, Alessandro. Don't do it. In his lust, as it worked up, in her resistance, it then turned to the passion of anger and violence. He took out a knife. He said, if you don't do it, I'll kill you. And again, she just said, don't do it, Alessandro. It's a sin. He stabbed her 14 times. He escaped when someone else was coming. They found her there bleeding. Maria Goretti died 3 days later. But already on the way to the hospital, she began to say, I forgive him. And before she died, she said, I forgive him, and I want him to be with me in heaven. Now, I want to pause for a moment, and I want you just to look and to see that image of Maria Goretti. This is a 14-year-old girl who has that spiritual maturity. Her life is run by the love of Jesus. What was her excuse, she said? It's a sin, Alessandro. out of love for Jesus, don't do this. It drove her life, this love. And it gave her such strength and peace of soul that even as they're taking her away, right after it happened, she's already able to say, I forgive him. That's Jesus. That's the same picture of Jesus that we saw in our gospel in Maria Goretti now. Now, that would be amazing enough if that was the end of the story, but actually, it's not even the end. Alessandro got arrested, got sent to jail. He was a minor, so he got 30 years in jail. Had the same just struggles, consumed by his passions, but now on top of it, there was shame, self-hatred. Until one day, Maria Goretti appeared to him from heaven. I don't know about, like, if it was a dream or just a vision he had, but he saw her come down to him, and she was beautiful, she was glorious, she smiled at him, and he saw she was joyful. And she gave him 14 lilies, one for each stem. And the lily is a sign of purity. And in that, he also knew that she had forgiven him for what he did. That moment changed Alessandro's life. It was a miraculous conversion of heart. He turned around from that day, and he began to live the rest of his life with the same love for Jesus that Maria Goretti had. They said he was a model when he got out of jail of his faith. When he left, after 27 years in jail, the first place he went, the home of Maria Goretti's parents, knocked on their door. Her mom opened the door. He said, do you know who I am? She recognized him right away. He apologized, and she said, well, if God has forgiven you and Maria has forgiven you, then I have to forgive you too. It was Christmas Eve. She said, come, let's go to Mass. They went to Christmas Mass, and they went home, and she adopted him as her own son. And he took him and lived with them the rest of his life. My dear children, this is what is possible when we live the kingdom of God. When everything within us is directed properly as disciples to the love of Jesus. We say every time we start Mass here, we are disciples guiding disciples. To be a disciple takes sacrifice. We need to model this to each other, to lead each other to Jesus together. We are the family of the church. That's what we celebrate today in our festival. That's who we are. And this is our duty. This is our job. And it's a great joy that together we're leading one another to Jesus.